WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere. WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Now, whoever runs for mayor, New York City has a very progressive campaign finance law with big incentives for small donors. But New York State does not. Now a major push is underway to reform the state's laws to amplify the voices of small donors. Joining me now to speak about this campaign are Leo Hendry, member of the board of Common Cause, the Campaign Finance Reform Advocacy Group. He's also managing partner of Intermedia Partners, a New York-based media industry private equity fund, and Sean Eldridge, a founding member of New York LEAD, which is this new group dedicated to reforming campaign finance laws in the state. And he's a senior advisor to Freedom to Marry, the campaign to win marriage equality nationwide. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Hi, Sean. Hi, Leo.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Sean, what is wrong with the New York State campaign finance laws? Most people aren't familiar with them.
Yeah, so New York has one of the most archaic and basically the worst systems in the country. Individuals can contribute more than $60,000 to statewide races. There are basically unlimited contributions that are allowed through the state party's so-called housekeeping funds. And there's very little transparency and oversight in the system. So the limits are too high, and there is no real opportunity for grassroots voters and grassroots donors to have a voice. Frankly, it's a system that is built entirely for big donors and not at all for the average voter.
So, Leo, what are you proposing?
Well, I'm in the process of following sort of in Sean's wake and Common Cause's, Brian, an extraordinary sort of insight and initiative that Sean's been leading in two areas. The problem that he describes is more important than just even New York State. This state is a beacon. It's sort of a model for the rest of the country, as is the state of California on the other coast. And when we as residents and citizens of New York State look at our broken statewide system and see that we're not the good example we should be, but we have a very well-functioning model here in the city. It rewards, as Sean has said, the small donor, such that about 70, even 80% at times of the dollars that come into citywide elections are from what any of us would consider small donors. And then we look up to Albany, and anyone who runs at the statewide level has a de minimis shot at anything in the small donor category. Something on the order of 10% of the dollars at the statewide level come from small contributions. They come from this amalgam of the $60,800 limit that Sean talks about and these even larger contributions to the party. And there is no voice for the middle class in the Albany system, where, thanks to a lot of good work by people like Sean, there's tremendous voice for the middle class right here in New York City. So what we want to see, Brian, is the state adopt something approximating the city's protocols, and then become a beacon, for the nation.
Do laws like this even work, Sean? As progressive as the city's laws are, they couldn't stop Mayor Bloomberg from spending hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money on his three campaigns and overwhelming whoever his opponent was.
Yeah, I think Mayor Bloomberg is sort of an outlier on this issue. You know, what we saw in New York City after the reforms took place we saw much more participation in the political process. And the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU has done a terrific study, which you can find on their website, which basically shows that more New Yorkers have participated in the political process by voting, by donating, by feeling like their engagement actually matters. And right now at the statewide level, the feeling is special interests and big donors are really controlling the system, which is why 74% of New Yorkers agree with Governor Cuomo's call for a campaign finance system that includes matching funds. New Yorkers are fed up. You know, we're waking up every single morning to another story about money flooding into politics, and it's time for a better system.
In Governor Cuomo's State of the State address in January, he called for what he called a voluntary multiple match public financing system. Sean, how different is that from what you're proposing with your group?
Our goal is to use New York City as a model. And in New York City, every contribution up to $175 is matched six times. And that, I think, is a terrific model for what could work statewide to give average voters and average donors a louder voice and give them a real seat at the table.
And
I think, Brian, if I could just add,
sure.
I think it's a tremendous opportunity for candidates as well. There is complete breakage at the top with what we call the self-funder. And regardless of how you think about Mayor Bloomberg's performance, I think it's a tragedy that three races have been self-funded to such moment that they've destroyed the true democracy of the last three races. And a candidate who doesn't have access to extraordinary means, who's not willing, to be frank, to sell their vote to the highest bidder, looks at the statewide system and it just backs up and says, that's not for me. We have much better candidates in New York City, much more candidates as well for every race than we've been finding at the state level.
Leo, you've advised President Obama on economic issues. How did you feel when earlier this year he decided to push for super PAC donations when he had shunned them previously?
You know, I was disappointed. Brian, we're going to see something on the order of $3 trillion. I'm sorry, $3 billion. I wish it were. I'm glad it's not trillion. $3 billion spent just on the presidential race, about $1 billion formally by each candidate, and $1 billion in this soft anonymous category that worries us all so much. I understand President Obama's requirement, so to speak, to match the dollars of the Koch brothers and Karl Rove's group. But it was disappointing. I really think that if we pull off something thoughtful here in New York and some of the other states, while we may not beat back Citizens United until we get a more respectful court, there is the prospect through the Brennan Center, as Sean mentioned, and otherwise, to bring transparency completely into the federal process while we wait a more benign court. And so it was disappointing. I wished that the president had, when he made the decision, I know why he did, I agree with it, I wished he had been even more outspoken as to the tragedy of not having responsible public finance of the sort that Sean endorses.
So, Sean, if listeners are interested in this campaign, what can they do?
Well, they can go to newyorklead.org to learn more and take part in the broader Fair Elections campaign in New York. And there'll be many opportunities to contact their lawmaker and participate in the process. And I think the point that was just made is very important. When you're in New York and making a better campaign finance system here is really, I think, an important first step to taking down Citizens United. You have to start somewhere. New York City is a great model, and we have an opportunity now to take New York State, which is one of the worst systems in the country, and make it one of the best systems in the country, which I think would be a critical step to taking down Citizens United and fixing the system at the federal level.
Now, Leo Hendry, while you're here, can I ask you very briefly about the sports business world that you're involved with?
Sure.
You just tried to buy the Dodgers, but Magic Johnson's group got that franchise instead. What's the biggest source of profit for a Major League Baseball team? Is it ticket sales, TV rights? When you pay your players millions apiece, how do you make that profitable?
It's the realization, Brian, that the media value of these teams has overtaken their team value, so to speak. You can't have the payroll structure and make it work with what's called butts in seats. The women and men who attend the game, buy the hot dog, pay for the parking. The teams have to have local media dollars come into their coffers. Los Angeles, a huge market. There were some peculiarities to its media situation.
And you ran the Yes Network, owned by the Yankees.
I started the Yes Network, and we would have done something similar out in Los Angeles had we prevailed.
I wonder how they make money. Not that I doubt that they do, but all they ever show is Yankee games and repeats of Yankee games and people talking about Yankee games, plus the dreary Nets. Does it actually work?
It works very well. Last night, the Yankees played in Texas against the Texas Rangers. The night before, the local television rating, Brian, for that game in which these two young Japanese phenomenal pitchers came together, it had a 10 rating, which is unheard of.
Wow.
In local television. And it's not a competitor to the women and men who want to go to the game. It's a real compliment. It's a product that still has a lot of advertising associated with it because it's real time, and it's part of the cable package. And so there's revenues that come to the network from the cable subscribers plus advertising.
And is sports media immune profit-wise from the digital revolution that's threatening journalism, the news media, so much?
It better be careful. This phenomenon called over the top, where an entire generation, my daughter and stepchildren included, simply don't watch television, Brian. They get all of their media, certainly all of their news, on iPads and other devices, and so the sport has to be more clever in anticipating this next generation. A lot of young people have abandoned the television as a matter of manner of information and entertainment, and so the sport has to change along with it.
All right. Leo Hendry, founding CEO of the Yes Network, who is here mostly as a member of the board of Common Cause today, the Campaign Finance Reform Advocacy Group. He's also managing partner of his firm, Intermedia Partners. And we had Sean Eldridge, a founding member of New York LEAD, the new group dedicated to reforming campaign finance laws in New York State. Thank you both so very much for coming on today.
Thanks Brian.
For having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, it is Gridlock Sam Schwartz to conclude his April series on his unified theory of transportation for the New York City area. Today, it's the future of mass transit, including his proposal to lower the bus fare in some parts of the city. Stay with us.